Tap into the passion and vision of well-known entertainment luminaries with Thinking Out Loud. Go on a journey with unfiltered access to today's media innovators. Hear their strategy for rising above the crowded landscape. Important lessons and valuable wisdom that only comes from real industry experience.
Hello, I'm Vicki Lins, President and CEO of CTAM, a marketing organization in the media entertainment technology space. Today, I'm talking with Jonathan Shanti, Chief Growth Officer of Viral Nation Group and President of Viral Nation Talent, and Paul Tellner, Head of Programming at Viral Nation. Welcome, Jonathan and Paul.
Thank you for having us. It's great to be here.
Thank you so much.
I'm excited about this conversation because it's a bit different for the space that we typically explore. So let's kick it off by one or both of you telling us about Viral Nation. What are you? What do you do? Why does it matter? And then we'll take it from there.
Absolutely. Viral Nation started way back in 2013, 2014. We initially started off as a talent representation firm for the emerging creator market. And we quickly realized at that time as well that there was also a big opportunity to consult and strategize for brands and how to engage talent effectively, which is kind of the beginning of the build out of what we have now as Viral Nation Group. Fast forwarding to today, we're about 500 to 600 people nationally and globally, and we run across three strategic pillars of the industry. We have Viral Nation Marketing, which is a digital transformative agency working with brands and ushering them through all the services and needs to be effective and meaningful in digital and social today, from strategy to experiential community management, anything under the moon and sun to really help continue maintain success and growth for brands as relates today on digital and social. Then we have a phenomenal tech arm, which is a big part of our future, where we're currently cultivating, developing, and launching different platforms and technology that is leading the industry in the direction that it needs to go in, from safety of working with the right talent to also empowering your current staff and workforce to be the meaningful creators that you need them to be and pushing out the values and the brand quality that many companies are looking to continue to elevate. And then we also have our Viral Nation talent agency, which is where I spend majority of my time. There we currently have what I've known to believe the largest roster of creator talent in the world, and working with talent above and beyond just the conventional brand deals, working with them on their monetization and podcasts, working with Paul Tellner here on their monetization and development of original content and show formats, working with them on the distribution of the content they're creating to create more meaningful revenue streams outside of, just YouTube, outside of just Facebook, outside of just Snapchat, also ushering them into the world of OTT, podcast. We even have our own internal venture arm, which is helping talent not only bring amazing products to market that they've thought of and created for their audiences, but also working on meaningful venture-based opportunities that have the ability to go public or to have a true company built around and really help these creators capitalize on their craft, but to capitalize on their notoriety. So we're really looking at the entire ecosystem for creators. We kind of strut away from the notion of being a manager and agent, which I think historically speaking is kind of how this industry kind of got boxed in as this business started to form. We truly look at ourselves as business partners, because that's what we truly believe creators need. And that's what our ethos and mantra is, to truly empower their abilities to create careers and monetization, but also really be an amazing business partner to them.
You just gave us a whole lot to unpack. Go ahead, weigh in.
I was just going to say, to Jonathan's point, talent is really important. Talent has never been more important than right now in media. People tune into their favorite shows to see their favorite stars, plots, storylines, that's all important, but it's really, talent is really important. And we really care about talent, and we want to really help them with their careers and really bring it to the next level. So we'll talk more about originals, but talent is everything to us. We have an amazing roster.
So there really is a lot to unpack there. And one of the things I think might be useful for our listeners is to put a little context around why they should care about all of this. We're all living through this mashup of media right now where lines are blurring. And the TV ecosystem is morphing in really interesting ways and engaging with viewers and or different audiences is evolving in interesting ways. That's what sort of spurred my interest in talking to the two of you today. Could you connect some of those dots for us and just help shape our conversation a little bit in a way that'll make it meaningful to our audience?
Yeah, I mean, I think that anything that's transformative and new goes through multiple phases as it becomes mainstream. I remember going back as early as 2012 in my career when, you know, I was working on what is called influencer campaigns and kind of seeing the challenges we were getting from brands and other meaningful businesses on why they should invest when they've already seen so much success on TV or print or radio, et cetera. I think ultimately, though, what we have to remember is the art of what we do has been around for decades. Ultimately, this is political science 101. Media and the way media is being consumed today through social and digital is word of mouth on steroids, right? If you look at even the United States of America in terms of the history of how political figures have risen and presidents were elected, a lot of it was due to the conformity of opinion based off of word of mouth and based off of the people in your community that you respected and felt were authentic and spoke to, you know, your interests and spoke to your principles. The beauty of what phones with cameras have done and what social media platforms have created is a low barrier of entry into getting your opinion out there and also being able to consume opinions out there and creating a connectivity for people who are like-minded or are searching for knowledge and insights to be able to consume and make their own decisions on what they truly believe is important to them. Looking at Viral Nation Talent, we have, you know, a really wide variety of creators ranging from automotive to beauty and fashion to real estate, finance, entrepreneurship, health. Why? Because we truly believe everyone is really influential. And we believe that knowledge and content are an unbelievable partnership, which is what essentially affects and engages the masses. So looking at, historically speaking, TV and film and looking at the world we're in today, our CEO, Joe, I think has said it really well. Instead of watching HGTV, people are watching, you know, home renovation influencers. Instead of watching Discovery, they're watching their favorite animal creators. So nothing's changed. It's just in terms of the content that's always appealed. It's just how people are consuming and how they're accessing it. And that's why I think we're seeing such a mishmash, so to speak, of different strategies and media deployment, because I think everyone is trying to figure out what the right balance for them is. It's a fun time to be in our business. It's a fun time to do what we're doing.
I'm going to age myself by saying this, but I remember starting in the YouTube space in 2005. I went from MySpace to YouTube. And I remember walking into a traditional television network in Canada, up in Canada, and showing millions of views on a video and being told, come back to us when it's an actual television show. And this is 2005. And I remember walking away from that meeting going, but this video has more views than most of the shows running on this massive network. How could this be? How could this not be a TV show? And the narrative has completely changed. And to John's point, everyone now has the power to build their own audience and to be their own network and to broadcast to their audience and to control that narrative, which is really interesting and really compelling. I mean, if you go back years and years, it's still hard. It's hard for actors to get into rooms to audition. It's hard for people to become celebrities if they want to do something in a certain space. It's tough for people to do that. But now, with literally their phone, they can build an audience, do what they do to millions of people, and through that comes a lot of opportunities. And there may be an opportunity where they get their own show on a network and they move audiences around and it all becomes part of their brand building. But to what Jonathan said, it's so true. We all have the power to use our phones to create a brand for ourselves. And that's the most amazing thing about what's happening right now in social media. And when I started in 2005, there wasn't a lot of support out there. It was you and your, you know, making videos, and that was basically it. And it's in my opinion, really changed for the better because everyone can now have a voice and can show their talent. It's as my old boss in LA used to say, YouTube, TikTok, Snap, all that is the greatest casting call of all time.
There are so many interesting points there to follow up on, but I want to circle back quickly to something that John said. You used the word instead. Instead of people watching HDTV, they're watching influencers on TikTok. Is it instead or is it and? Are you seeing overlaps in demographics and in people's viewing, or are we talking about a generational divide that's really shifting the media landscape here?
You know, that's a really good question. I think for some, it's instead. And I think for others, there's overlap. Like, don't get me wrong. I still love to sit on my couch with my family and watch amazing content on the TV. But I also, when I have those moments in between anything I'm doing and I go to social, I'm also consuming content from people that I'm not seeing on TV, which is also why I think what Paul's doing is so important. Because as he said, social is the biggest casting call, and you know, TV, OTT, film, etc., still is insanely and will always be insanely powerful. So kind of working to bridge the opportunities from social and digital to conventional mainstream is kind of where Paul sits. I really believe that there is a beautiful synergy between both, but you also have to remember social is free, right? If I want to go watch something on cable or in streaming in some cases or any other platforms, I have to pay. So the freemium aspect of what social brings will always be an amazing factor to how people can access the content they want, which is also why I think OTT is really exploding in our space, because you know, Roku and Vizio, they're not in the TV business, right? They're in the content business. That's ultimately what they're doing. So that model is kind of disrupting and exploding. We're excited about it. But again, you know, it's a really good point. And that's why I think right now it's you gotta be a little bit everywhere. You can't just bet on one. And that's what I think really brings success to creators and brings success to our brand partners.
I think that's why we're also seeing such the mashup happening right now, because you have to be a little bit everywhere. And it's a fascinating time to watch brands, especially media brands, try to figure out how to navigate this evolving landscape. So I'd like to talk to the two of you a little bit about what that looks like. How does a brand like an HGTV or a Discovery or even a CNN for that matter, start to engage in new and different ways in the social digital space? What are you seeing as most effective and impactful, and how do you build an audience to make it meaningful?
I think we've seen this notion come up in a variety of different mainstream media and news formats, where the one element that they need to truly understand is that there has to be a consistent effort to introduce new people and new perspectives. Creating a community and creating and supporting new creators that are growing in interest and engagement is effectively the most important thing they can do. For example, look at like publishing. For many years, the Vogues and the InStyles of the world, and the editor in chief was everything, right? That was the influencer. But today, people care more about hearing and consuming content from multiple new people and being fascinated by multiple new concepts and new content, that they're always searching for new. So if I'm sitting at the table at any of those major companies, I'm thinking about how do I control and ensure the people we're working with are credible and also professional, but then how do I kind of keep this meaningful revolving door of new creators, new perspectives, and emerging talents partnering with us and helping us cultivate the most meaningful content that needs to be out there, and then having them syndicated to the other audiences and followers that they have, so we have a really meaningful cross-pollination of our brand to our current existing base, but attracting new bases of audiences that will have an affinity to what we're providing. So you have to have vigilance, right? You need to own and operate on this craft by using the right tech, by working with the right partners, but also just being open-minded and making sure that you're consistently, as Paul would say, casting and leveraging and supporting new people that are coming into the ecosystem. With news is a little hard, right? Because the biggest thing we've seen, I think, with news is you need to understand the credibility of the person who is articulating a topic, right? I think source credibility and credibility of the caster is very important. But when it comes to areas of interest and areas of expertise outside of opinion and current events, I think that's where you can have a lot of fun. There's always new innovative people coming up with new concepts or elaborating on concepts that already exist. And that's where I think creativity can just truly explode and audiences can be cross-pollinated in a meaningful way.
Yeah. And Vicky, you know, YouTube, Instagram, all of these social platforms, they have knocked down the walls of what's possible from traditional casting agents and executives looking to see who they want to cast in a television show, a movie, on a network. Those walls are completely broken down. John and I spend a lot of our time thinking of television shows and series in general and casting and all that. And it's an unbelievably fun thing that we get to look at the talent that's out there and say, oh, they may be good here, they may be good there. Because you look at comedy, we've got an amazing comedy roster. There are so many great comedy voices on social right now that are just killing it, whether it's in sketch or stand-up or improv. There's just so many great personalities. And I think when it comes to traditional networks, like the ones you mentioned, they are slowly starting to see the light and say it is not the same faces that we need to keep going back to keep doing shows for. It is going to take audiences a second to understand that there are other people out there who do the same thing and potentially better. But I do think the traditional cable networks are starting to see the light more than they ever have been. I mean, when I used to pitch TV shows, I was told when I pitch, come up with a digital extension, is what they used to call it. What's your digital extension? Now, we don't use that term. It's just a given that there has to be a really healthy digital element to the marketing and the social and all that. And look, there was a time back in 2006, 2007, 2008, and a few years later, where if you had millions of subscribers, it was like, how do we give you your own show? And now it's shifted to talent is talent. Like, digital talent is talent. And I've always said that, you know, you can be in a room full of stand-up comedians, and if the digital talent should be treated the same way, they're talent. And that's it. So I think the traditional networks are starting to open up much more to looking at great talent who, by the way, want to talk about being authentic. These creators are doing this anyways. They're not doing this to get a TV show. They're not doing it to get a book deal. They're just doing it because they want to do it. And it's what they do. So whether you're a plumber or you renovate homes, they film themselves doing it. So authenticity has never been more pure when looking at creators and trying to get the real deal.
So, Paul, you mentioned comedy. I just have to make sure our audience knows that at the start of your career, you were one of the original YouTube stars.
Yeah, back in the 70s.
You were known for your viral comedy videos.
Back in 1975. Yep.
So some people may actually recognize your voice from way back in the day.
You know, it was one of those things, in all honesty, where I was turned away from traditional television. I would pitch with my two best friends since I was kids. And we would pitch every network, and we had agents, and we were in many rooms rejected and told this is not a TV show. And I remember saying, like, why not? We've got millions of views. We've got fans who want to see this in other mediums. And through a lot of push and a lot of hustle, we did get a television show picked up in Canada and the US. But while that was happening, we were building our social, and we always saw the importance of social. And I would sit in rooms with media executives and say, like, this is going to blow up. And a lot of people didn't believe us. They just didn't. And certain agencies saw the light and some didn't. But I've always sort of had my eye on digital and seen the possibility there, because there's no gatekeepers. There's no red tape for the most part. So you can build your audience the way you want to build it. And if the other opportunities like TV deals, book deals, apps, if all that stuff comes, fantastic. But now in 2023, everyone needs to be entrepreneurial, and you can start your brand today and put yourself out there.
So there's an interesting underlying shift happening to all of that. And it's the move away from the more formulaic approach of what works, what doesn't, to anything goes. And as head of programming for Viral Nation, how do you sort through anything goes to try to hone in on the type of content you want to develop and get out into the universe?
It's a great question. So the first thing that Jonathan and I look for when we're really developing an original project is there a voice? Is there a point of view here? Because look, there's a lot of content out there and a lot of it's fantastic. But is there a personality? Is there a world? Are they saying something different? And it doesn't need to be some serious statement about the world. If they're a comedian, are they looking at the world in a point of view where you're like, well, that's really funny. I've never seen that before. Or that reminds me of how my friends and I talk. So authenticity, originality is really, really important. Are they daring? Do they take risks? Are they not afraid to be themselves? Are they unapologetic about who they are? And look, you know, there was once a world where being louder was better and being, you know, screaming from the rooftops and doing ridiculous things and this and that was the way to get a show. Now you can be an introvert. You can be quiet and you can build that audience. But are you saying something? Are you a personality that's memorable? That's what I always say. You know, the TV networks always say, give us the loudest content, the loudest formats, the noisiest formats. And that's all great. But when we're looking at talent to develop a show, we look at the talent. Are you saying something that's interesting? Do you do something that's interesting? Do you visit cool places and have a unique POV? So I think we're pretty good at identifying talent for shows. And sometimes when you look at a YouTube channel and you see someone cooking, you know, they're making pancakes or they're mixing drinks or doing whatever they do, it's about looking past that and seeing what else this can be. Because sometimes some people are best to do their thing on TikTok and they're making it or YouTube, they're making an amazing living for themselves. That's fantastic. But other times you go, well, what could be the show? How do we extend what they're doing and push it to the limit? And if there was a bigger budget, extend these folks to the next level. So, you know, for me, I'm so passionate and so is JC about talent. And there's nothing gets us more excited than seeing a new personality being like, oh my goodness, what can we build together here? And how can we further extend this brand? And look, sometimes you're in a room with someone and it's pretty obvious if someone's got talent, right? John and I have been in rooms with talent and we're like, this is a no-brainer. And others, you have to think about a little bit more. You have to really study the content and say, okay, well, what if they hosted a dating show? What if they did an outdoor adventure show? So I think the rules of, or the ingredients rather, of spotting talent hasn't really changed, but now it's about having more talent at our fingertips and being a little bit more creative with how we take their brands online and create half hour, 1 hour special formats around them to take them to the next level.
Is there still an it factor? Is there still that dimension that's inexplicable where somebody either has it or not? Or yes. Has that really blurred in the social space where, to your point, anyone has the power to build their own audience?
First off, my answer is yes, there is an it factor, but I think it has a new definition today. It could be your ability to create fun and entertaining content. It could be your ability to transfer your knowledge and expertise in a way that's consumable and understandable to audiences. It could be your ability to cover topics in culture and pop culture and bring a comedic element to it or be able to disseminate it in a different way for everyone to understand. I just think the word it is less about today, you know, when a new actor or actress walks in that room for a casting call and kills the character. I think that's what's changed, right? It's like when you think about the conventional world of Hollywood, of how it's been for such a long time, you know, we had all these gatekeepers, right? Like you couldn't become something unless someone said to you, oh, they are it, they have it. Today with social, it's kind of like a trial by fire, right? It's a vote. If you have the following, if you have the engagement, if you're growing and building the audience, you are showing that you have it. But what it is now up to the creator's discretion as to where their true ability to relate and engage with followers and audiences are.
And to that point, what viewers online love is following along the journey of their favorite creator. There is a very amazing personal relationship between the audience and the creator that simply, you know, people on traditional television have not been able to build because of sort of the Hollywood system sort of putting a barrier between celebrity or star of sitcom and audience, right? Where now you can really follow along and you are part of their world. You know, we'll be at VidCon in a few weeks, and it's a very powerful conference because the fans of their favorite creators really get to interact and meet and say hi. And, you know, you can look at online in the numbers and the comments and, okay, yeah, this person's popular. But when you attend these real life conferences, you see the power of that audience come alive, and you see just how monumental and big some of these creators are and how, you know, how special their relationship is with their audience. And look, I think there is still something to having it factor if you're a musician, if you're a comedian. But like John said, the audience votes, and the audience will find something they like about a lot of people. And it doesn't necessarily need to be you are bringing that down the house singing an amazing song. You could be literally renovating a house. You can be, we have an amazing creator named Adrian Vasquez who upcycles. He upcycles in New York City. He finds real, he takes real garbage and he creates gems, literally gems out of garbage, and puts them into his apartment or other people's apartment, and he makes amazing inventions for people's homes. And he's a unique voice in the home decor DIY space, and he's also an amazing personality. And you put those two ingredients together, and suddenly we have discovered a new talent that we are, as we speak, developing a show around. So I just think, you know, you walk into the offices of traditional networks, they have their stars on the wall, right? And the stars are amazing. There's no denying that. But there's a new wall ready to be built, and we're excited to help develop sort of the new stars, so to speak, that come from social and get them on traditional networks, et cetera, et cetera, because there is a new class of talent out there that we're excited to be developing with.
The amount of opportunity out there is really exciting. It's also daunting if you're trying to dip your toe in this. Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about the influencer marketplace, because I think that connecting influencers with brands can be tremendously successful, but it can also be painful, as we've seen with some recent tension points that have emerged in the marketplaces as brands have tried to move into different new spaces. So share some of your experience and wisdom with us in that space. There is no formula, as we've discussed. There's no template that says this is the way to do it and it will work for you and it'll be right. When you take a brand and you marry it to an influencer and you try to create authentic engagement in a new space for that brand, what does that look like and how does that play out? And what can you tell our listeners about caution points or keys to success?
Honestly, I do think there is a recipe, but like any good chef, the best recipes come through experience, right? And I think because we've been in the business for as long as we have, and you know, anyone who tells you they haven't learned or made mistakes is lying to you. But because we've been in the space for so long, for us, it's truly first understanding, okay, brand X, what are you really trying to accomplish? Like if you were to wave a magic wand, what would you like to see happen after this campaign? And remember, every brand has different goals. Every brand has an ROI or a meaningful, you know, North Star that they're going towards. So truly understanding what they want to see happen is the first step. If someone's just throwing standard plays at you, yeah, could it work? Sure. I mean, but I could also hit a home run on the first at bat at home plate too. Is it likely? Probably not. What needs to first happen is a true understanding and a partnership on what does success look like. The second most important question afterwards, after what does success look like, is what can they actually afford? What you don't want to do is get in a situation where someone's promising you the moon and the sky and unable to deliver based on what resources you currently have. The best partners are the ones who can truly have these conversations and manage expectations and provide you a more strategic lens as to what actually is possible with the resources and budgets that are available. The marriage of those two are probably the two most fundamental parts of the partnership. The rest is fun, right? The creativity, the different angles and rollout you can have, what platform might make the most sense, what type of talent. You could do a Super Bowl commercial, or you could do a 6 month, 8 month, 9 month rollout of different types of creators at different levels with different concepts and talk tracks. And again, it's like, it's always about authenticity. You got to make sure that your brand, your company is being deployed through channels that are authentic. And I think the good thing about what you can do in this business with all the amazing creators that are out there is you can truly allow yourself to not just settle, right? There are so many amazing people out there. You can actually take the time using the right technology, using the right operators, using the right outreach and messaging to find the people that truly authentically resonate with you and your brand. And, you know, that's where the magic happens, right? It's every single creator is almost like their own mini creative agency. Everyone has their own perspective. So you've got the authenticity, you have the alignment, you have the resources, you have the team that's helping keep the strategy and the goals focused and front of mind. Success is guaranteed. The level of success, you know, some magical things happen that none of us can predict, but you always want to make sure you're at least striving towards and getting to what that North Star or that ROI is that you're looking for. And that just comes with good experience and good partners.
A lot of what we've been discussing, and you've used the word authentic a lot, you both have, it's also about chemistry and human connection and human engagement. But AI and machine learning is coming at us at fast and furious. And I know a lot of the leading platforms in the global influencer space are leveraging AI. Can you share a little bit about either what you've done or what you're going to do or how you see that aspect of technology impacting the business?
Yeah, I mean, I think our perspective on AI is it's powerful, but it needs to be leveraged in a meaningful way. So one thing that we've done is we've launched an unbelievable platform called VN Secure. And what VN Secure does is it allows us and our partners to audit public social channels of creators to ensure that there isn't anything in there that could be harmful to the creator or harmful to the brand. So a very positive element of what AI can do for our industry and ensuring that you're aligning with the best partners and also, you know, helping people who have been creating content for a long time stick to meaningful guidelines as how they should operate as professionals and take this as a career choice. Other areas that we're looking at too are more on the education side. How can we optimize the rollout and development of people who are striving to become creators? Where can they learn and grow and get inspiration to take their talents to the next level? That's a big part of what we're doing with the new platform we're launching very soon called, you know, VN Plus, which we're excited to bring to the masses in the near future. So again, there's a lot of different perspectives on AI. There's like the X-Files perspective that like we're going to go into like this crazy world of what the hell are these computers doing and what is science bringing to us. But from our perspective, it's if you use the right guidelines and you create things for the right reasons and you allow them to be leveraged for people for good use, it's a very powerful element to elevating and protecting the craft that we're cultivating here. So we're proponents of AI in the right way.
And Paul, in terms of the AI potential for optimizing campaigns, discovering new programming and the way you develop your programming strategy, what do you see happening in that space?
Well, I think, look, like John said, AI is, it's amazing and it's incredible and it's got to be used in the right way. When it comes to creative, and everyone went crazy when they used that program to see if they could write a script, and everyone went nuts and went, oh my God, this chat program can write a script, and everyone got really excited. I think AI can help creativity. I don't think it replaces human creativity under any circumstance. And I think there is a part of the industry that, let's be frank here, is nervous about that. And the good news is we haven't seen AI be funny yet. We've seen them write some compelling stuff, but human talent cannot be replaced. I think there we will see AI trying. I think we will see certain elements of that come to life. But I think at the end of the day, people go to comedy clubs to see humans be funny. I think movies and TV will use AI in really compelling, interesting ways. And I know there's been articles written about actors being replaced and all this stuff. And I think everyone gets very excited very quickly. And there's a lot of media that goes out there and people get pumped up and go, oh my God, what's happening? But I don't think it's going to replace. I think it's going to work with us to create sharper content, better content. But at the end of the day, I don't think there is a way that it will replace human creativity. I think it'll help find talent. I think our talent deep dives will be even deeper. And I think AI will actually help us be even more creative, but they still need us. So, you know, I walk away with those articles and I am concerned, but I also go, no, I think everyone gets real excited real quickly about stuff in the world. And then it sort of simmers a little bit, but we have to watch out and we have to keep a really careful eye on it. And look, I come from a comedy background. Comedy has been a huge part of my career. The minute AI starts being funny is when I was going to get really concerned, but it hasn't been funny yet. And I think nothing replaces a group of hilarious comedians or creators or influencers.
Really great answers from both of you. Early days in this transformation that we're all living. So it's going to be really exciting, I think, to see the ways it plays out. Right now, my instinct is that everybody's sort of reacting and responding to it as a threat. But as we become more comfortable with it and start to use it as a tool, it could be a really exciting journey that we're experiencing.
Yeah. And look, we saw a lot of stuff happen in Web3, right? Everyone got very excited about Web3. And, you know, it is exciting. And there is an amazing world out there, but not all of it works. Just like not all AI endeavors will work. So I think it's really early right now. I'm hopeful it'll even out to a place that is responsible and actually helps make things better.
Do either of you or both of you think it's important for viewers to know what is human generated versus what is AI generated? Is there a transparency, ethical, moral dimension to all of this that we need to start to think about?
Really good question.
I think it's kind of like a work in progress. You know, I mean, the only comparison I can draw this to is, I don't know if you all remember, but like very early on in social, there was a lot of like reality stars and interesting talents on social. And early on, you didn't have to disclose what was a paid sponsorship and what was, you know, authentic. And then of course the regulation came and structure came. I think that's what will happen with this as well. And I think it's just a matter of us learning and adapting as these, you know, instances come up that we're all very much being vigilant on and making sure we're operating in the most authentic and transparent way as we can. But like many new things, you know, I believe regulation will come and it will come from learning and understanding.
Look, I mean, you look at the history of pop culture, look what we've created. Like, we've created unbelievable hits all by humans. And I think that will continue. I think human imagination is amazing. If AI helps that and be even more imaginative and creative and create even better shows and projects and movies and content, that's amazing. But I just think we have a world of brilliant people out there and brilliant rooms of people coming up with ideas, not just in entertainment, but in all industries. And again, it has to be responsible AI. It can't be Wild West. Call me old school, but I think there is still tremendous value coming from actual human thought and creativity.
I'm going to pivot again because I'm interested in the ways established brands translate that emotional connection that they've already built equity in into success in the social digital space. So obviously most interested in media brands, but you know, any brand. Can you give us an example of a success story that you've helped build where there's a brand that has a really strong identity and an equity and successfully transitions that into a different space with a different type of engagement?
You know, that's a good question. There's a lot of amazing success stories. I think personally speaking, one of the most recent success stories we've seen is something we showcased actually in Social Media Week, was our work with Chegg. I think it was a beautiful marriage because, you know, Chegg really provides unbelievable resources to students, you know, nationally when it comes to education and learning and being able to disseminate difficult questions and math problems and parts of, you know, phenomenal organization. I cannot speak more highly of them. The marriage of what Chegg's initiative and ethos was with our ability to strategize and deliver ended up becoming one of the most successful campaigns we've ever seen at Bauer Nation. I think, again, it really comes down to not necessarily transforming them or transforming a partner into something new. It's really taking what is important to them and showcasing those values and making sure it's reaching the right people and the right audiences. And that is truly done, again, by the art and the marriage of good partnership and good execution. I don't think for us, we're looking to kind of change or transform brands. I think it's more about how do we continue to elevate them in the world that we're living in and make sure that they're getting their fair share of the pie of, you know, awareness and consumption because of such of how big of a market we're in and how saturated it can be to be able to reach and drive home your values to the people that you want to engage with.
I'm going to pivot again. Because we could just go on and on. There's so many interesting aspects, and I want to cover some of the bases that I think are most relevant to our audience, and that would be advertising. Really, when you look at the broader media landscape, advertising has largely lived in the traditional space, and now we even see streamers trying to recreate that space. Social digital, to me, is different. It's a bit more native. So talk about the advertising business and where you see it succeeding and where you see it going in this digital social space. And do you see it as complementary to the more traditional ads, or do you see it as really taking the lead when you look at how Gen Z engages and consumes media?
Vicky, you've got some really good questions. Have you done this before? Because this is these are really good questions. So as I think about your question and I think about my answer, what really kind of is like beating through my thoughts is I don't think there's a one size fit all for everyone today. I think also a brand and marketers should not only be doing one thing, because we're not a world where we only consume and operate and engage on one area, right? Like if you look at even, you know, there was a big shift in publishing in the last few years. You've seen some major titles close. You've seen some titles turn into digital. You've seen some transformation there. You've seen radio go from radio FM to XM. You've seen all these other mainstream versions of media adapt and change. But there's a value in every aspect of it. For example, like People Magazine, still one of the most distributed and read magazines in North America, pound for pound. There's still an affinity for picking up a tangible piece of paper and being engaged by a weekly that's providing you all the information and insights on culture and entertainment that you want to see. But what have they also done very well? They have one of the best performing OTT channels. They have phenomenal social and drive an amazing amount of traffic and engagement to all their, you know, audiences and to their partners. So you have to do a little bit of everything, but you have to do a little bit of everything well. And you have to understand what's going to really work well for you based on the audiences you're trying to reach. Again, it's like, who am I speaking to? Where are they consuming content? How do I best engage them and reach them? For some, it may just be all digital. For some, it may be digital and print and TV. For some, it may just be TV and digital. But, you know, I think, yes, audiences play a massive part of this. Where's the highest opportunity for that audience to engage and consume? And two, again, always, as a marketer myself as well, what can you actually afford? And what can you actually afford at different levels of your evolution as a brand? Not every brand can go and book a Super Bowl commercial. So I think, again, it's like audience, authenticity, and affordability that is something that you really need to consider. And then crafting meaningful strategies at every level of your evolution based on the resources that you have. Hope that makes sense.
All very valid, good points. And you know, I ask a lot of these questions out of just total curiosity. I don't always expect all the guests to have all the answers. It just makes for a really interesting conversation. So
yeah,
all really good points. And I think a really nice way of sort of wrapping this up and bringing this home, you each made points that I think are incredibly salient. John, you said that there is a recipe and you just sort of spoke to that, but that the best recipes come from experience. And so we really appreciate you sharing so much of your experience with us. And Paul, you said, you know, we've knocked down the walls of what's possible. And I love that. I think the positive note to end on is that what's possible is wide open and really exciting. And thanks to the two of you sharing your experience with us today, the art of what's possible is a lot clearer to our listeners. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to be here. And, you know, one thing I just want to shape to your listeners is Paul and I, Paul, you know, speaking on your behalf here eloquently.
That's okay.
Paul and I are perpetual students. Some people say experts. I say thespians. You know, we love the business that we're in. We love the world that we're in. We're constantly learning. We're constantly evaluating things we could have done better. And I think that motivation to always improve and learn and grow is also a testament to the business that we're in. It's still forming its legs. We're only in the third inning. There's still so many things that have yet to have happened that are continue to happen. We just always are always going to continue to maintain the dedication to learn and provide as much insight and value to our friends and partners and colleagues as possible.
Yeah. And I'll say on that, you know, we love pop culture. We love entertainment. You know, we're lucky to be doing what we're doing. This is amazing. And every day we really try to contribute something that pushes pop culture forward and digital forward. And we're at the beginning. Like, we're at the beginning of this journey, and there is so much more to do and to grow and to go. And there's so much happening. And we are fans of pop culture, and we're so excited to be contributing to it. So we're excited. The future is bright, and we are just at the beginning of something very special.
Well, I think our listeners share that emotion and that passion and excitement. Change is inevitable, but what we all do with it is what leads to the exciting what's next. And so the future is bright and wide open. And thank you again for, you know, sharing your vision and your passion with us, because I'm sure that anyone who listens to this episode is going to take away something that makes them either think of something new or think of something differently. And for those of us who are equally passionate learners, You've taught us something today. So thank you so much.
Of course. And Vicky, one more thing, if I can, before we go, I want to say is you had a good question about sort of traditional and digital. And I just want to sort of highlight one thing we're doing that's really exciting for John and I and the company at large is our partnership with Trip Taylor, who, you know, is one of the most influential people in pop culture in years. He helped build MTV and Jackass and all these amazing brands. We have a partnership with Trip. And this, to me, signals a lot of really positive things. This is someone who helped build traditional television with all his brands. And now we have a partnership to build original content, et cetera, with our creators in the digital space. And for Trip to come over from traditional, now working in digital, I think says a lot about the industry, where it's going, how it's coming together, how it's changing. So that partnership is a block of programming we're developing with Trip, but it's more than just that. It's the changing of producers coming over to digital and combining forces. So I just wanted to highlight that, because I think that really rounds out your question earlier and shows a real example of how we're sort of merging and bringing worlds together.
I love that. It really does. And I think, you know, the words coming together are so apropos of what's happening in the industry. We have a cross-pollination of talent and experience, a cross-pollination of media, and it's all coming together in new and different ways. And that's really exciting. And I find it really interesting. And, you know, I'm sure our listeners will too. So thank you for throwing that in. It's an excellent point.
Hope you found this Thinking Out Loud conversation interesting and perhaps even thought-provoking. There are more on the way. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and leave a review.